Good morning. Good to see you all this morning. Nice, thanks for coming. And just want to remind you of something. This week, MOP starts, and we're not into children's ministries yet. That's coming up soon. But after the service, I will need the center section of chairs taken down. Some of you people that want to help and put back on there. Stacks of 10. We're almost to the season. We've got to take them all. You guys have it easy. You guys have it easy today. You guys. All right. And you're allowed to help. It's okay, you know. The center section, except for the front two rows. And that doesn't leave you guys off the hook. Okay? Front two rows leave here. Just those back little middle sections, if you don't mind taking them out, just in case I forget to tell you afterwards. And two more weeks, we'll do that. And then we'll be back to taking everything down. And anyway, I want to talk to you this morning about the talk. Fathers, did you ever have the talk with your children, with your sons? Mothers, did you ever have the talk with your daughters? Now, if you're a parent and someone younger is here right now, don't get afraid right now. I know my limits, okay, of what I'm going to say in public. But I want to talk about the talk today. And you know, it's one of those things, you know you need to have it, okay? You know you're going to need to have it with your children sometime soon. But a lot of time you're uncertain, you're nervous, you're a little afraid, you don't know how to start, you're unsure of how to start or how far to go, depending on the age of your children. And I know you guys in the front row probably don't have any idea what I'm talking about yet, okay? So you'll just have to ask on the way home. But the interesting thing about the talk is sometimes we get so nervous about it and so unsure, we wait, and we wait, and we wait. And really what you're doing is hoping your spouse has it, and you don't have to. I talk to a lot of men that hope their wives do this talk. You know, you're really nervous about it. You know you got to do it, but sometimes you just wait, and you wait, and you wait. And an interesting thing about waiting, because the longer you wait, you can be assured, and it's maybe it's some comfort, that their friends will have it with them, or the public school system will have it with them, you know? And you can definitely rest confident in those kind of things, you know? So the longer you wait, they're going to hear about it, okay? I told you before, and I won't go into detail, I found out about it. My parents had the talk, but I still didn't quite understand everything. And my one friend told me it has something to do with taking a seed and putting it in a woman's belly button. And I said, oh, I didn't quite understand it, you know. I didn't even think I have one, a belly button too, but anyway, that's as far as I went. And I also heard that while I was away down in Florida, Ryan, who was playing the drums, was giving an announcement. He talked about our pastor, Ronnie, and about how whenever he has questions about, you know, the birds or his chickens and that kind of stuff, ask Pastor Ronnie, he would go talk to him. And also Pastor Ronnie knows all about bees too. So he said, if you ever want to talk about the birds and the bees, you go see the children's pastor, all right? And he'll know about it. Now, I want you to tell you, I'm not talking about the sex talk, okay? That's not the talk that sounds a little bit like it, but we're not talking about that. We're talking right now, and what we're going to be start talking about, we're talking about the gospel talk. Has a lot of similarities. That we are called to do this. It is our responsibility to do this. We need to tell people about Jesus Christ. At the end of Revelation, we got to the point where it's like, awesome God, you are so gracious, and I'm so glad that I had the opportunity, like Pastor Ronnie, to give my life to you, that I don't have to worry about the tribulation and all that stuff that's going to happen out there, okay? And the only thing we're left is people's greatest need in this world is to know Jesus Christ. And then without Jesus Christ, without knowing Jesus Christ and what he did for them and accepting God's gift of salvation, every single person alive on this earth will spend eternity separated from God in the lake of fire. And so we sent you home last week with this, you know, and maybe some of you guys will feel guilty, you know, and I need to tell people because that's man's greatest need, and I should be telling people, and it's our responsibility as ambassador of Jesus Christ to take that message to lost people. And so people walked out of here last week feeling a little bit guilty. I don't know if I can do that. But like we said, don't worry, the guilt fades after a while, you know. And it's been done before. You've had that, you say, oh, I should be sharing Christ with this person, this guy at work. And then you feel real guilty about it for a while. And after a while, the guilt fades and you kind of forget about it until the next time some dumb pastor brings it up or something like that. But we're scared about it. So we put it off. We don't really know where to start. It's really uncomfortable. It's out of our comfort zone like the other talk is. You don't know how far to go. You don't know exactly when to start or when to bring up the gospel or how to start it. So you keep putting it off and putting it off, hoping somebody else will do it, you know? Hope somebody else will tell them about Jesus Christ. We fight guilt for a while, and then it fades. And honestly, most of the time, Christ followers never really get around to doing it, you know? We just put it off and put it off and hope someone else will do it. The two talks are very, very similar when you stop and think about it. But the Bible says we are Christ's ambassadors. We've been given a message of reconciliation that we are called to take to the world, literally commanded to take to the world, whatever age we are. Junior high, senior high, old. We are called to take that message to the world. God commands us to do that. But man, is it uncomfortable? And is it scary? And it's something preachers are supposed to know what to do and how to do it. And maybe learned men. But God didn't call just preachers and just learned men. God called every single one of us to take the gospel message to this world. And so what I did, we put together, so I just didn't just leave you with guilt, we put together what I call a 12-step witness program. Okay? A 12-step witness program. And you want to really answer some questions in this. So over the next couple weeks, a short series, we're going to be talking about witnessing, telling people what Jesus Christ did for you. What you know about Jesus Christ, what He did for you and mankind. So our 12-step witness program will be answering questions that we all have, like, how do you know when someone's ready to hear the gospel? Okay? So you just don't go around blabbering it all over the place. How do you know? And we're going to be really, really practical. So that everybody is without excuse. I'm really messing you up, okay? And so, man, it's been a real challenge to me, and I need to rehear this. So that, how do you know when someone's ready to hear the gospel? Questions like, do you have any ends to sharing the gospel? Do you have any witnessing patterns that make it a little bit easier for you? Can you share the relevant part of your testimony in 1 to 2 minutes? The relevant part of your testimony. Not like, yeah, when I was first born, you know, and then my aunt, you know. No, no. Just the relevant part of your testimony. Sometimes you only have 1 or 2 minutes to share it. Can you present the entire biblical message in less than 2 minutes? We're going to be talking about how to do this kind of stuff. How do you lead your testimony into a smooth gospel presentation? You want to do this well, because sometimes you only get one chance to do it. So how can you lead your testimony into a good gospel presentation? And do you understand witnessing courtesy? Do you understand witnessing courtesy? There is something we need to learn about that. And are you thinking correctly about sharing Christ? Are you thinking correctly, or is it guilt-ridden and I have to do it? Are you thinking correctly about sharing Christ? And another one that we'll be talking about, plus other ones, is can you quote enough Bible to sound credible? Can you quote enough scriptures to sound credible? You saw a perfect example of most all these things, Pastor Ronnie this morning. But he's sharing in church and he's a pastor, okay? I want you to understand that this isn't to pastors. And this study isn't designed, it's designed to give you tools to help you know how to talk. To help you have that talk. Just kind of like tools for it. I'm not trying to make you like me or other pastors. I'm not trying to make you like anybody that's around you. Look to your left. Look at the back of that head. Look at that. Yeah. And look to the right. Look at the back of that head. All right? I'm not trying to make you look like you're watching a tennis match. You know, I should have done that some more times in video. Almost like communion, when you take communion. And the funniest thing about communion, about being a pastor, it's not funny taking communion. But when you say, take this, drink it, remembrance of me, everybody in unison goes like that. It's fun to watch. I'm going to videotape it up here sometimes. But if it's communion, it doesn't sound right to videotape it, you know. But everybody's in perfect unison, all right. But, you know, we're not trying to make you like the person beside you. God created you with a personality. And some of your personalities are more outgoing. Some of them are more scary. And some of you guys are, you know, more gentle. And some people are more bold. God created you with the personality that you have. Now, He's going to call you out of your comfort zone in that kind of stuff, because nobody really wants to have the talk. It's not always a fun process. Once you have the tools, it becomes really, really cool to be able to do it. And you'll be exciting. By the end of the next couple weeks, I'm going to hear some stories, and it's going to be really cool. But it's not designed to make you be like anybody else. It's designed to make how God made you so that you can reach out in obedience to lost people. That's what this is about. It's awesome. So what I developed is a 12-step witness program. Now, the most important part of any 12-step program is the very beginning when you're ready to share Christ with somebody. And I do it kind of like this. Hi, I'm Bob, and I'm a Christ follower. Oh, thank you. All right. So you've been there. No, that's not the best way to start out, okay? Probably most of these people are going to know you, so you don't need to introduce yourself and you don't need to say that. It's not that kind of 12-step program. But I do have 12 steps we're going to be going through, and there's more, there's less. I just made them into 12 steps, but it's just really cool. But the first step, the most important thing, so we're starting today. So I put some notes in there. You want to keep some notes on this. The very most important thing is to pray. Duh, of course it's to pray. I thought really hard on that one, all right? Of course it's to pray. But why do we have to pray? Why do we have to pray? We are called by scriptures to pray, and we ought to pray for the unsaved person or persons. And you know why we do that? Just because it's churchy? No. You've got to remember, anybody who does not know Jesus Christ is in captivity of Satan himself and the demonic forces. And if you think you can take those demonic forces on, you are sadly mistaken. And Ephesians talks about this. Ephesians 6, 10 to 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. And that's why Roy's going to be talking about this in 2 weeks in men's group. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Stop right there. So you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Doesn't that sound scary? The devil is going to get you. The devil made me do it, you know. Picture this little guy in a pitchfork and in a red costume. That doesn't sound real scary. But the rest of the scripture is, if you know who the devil is, that's okay. But we're talking about Satan himself, Lucifer, the prince of the demons. So you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle, and this is why we pray, we remember that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against unsaved people. They are awesome people, sometimes better than church people. But our struggle is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's who we are about to take battle against. And if you think you can go up against Satan and his forces, then you are sadly mistaken. I am sadly mistaken. Even Michael the archangel is very, very, very careful when he is confronted with Satan and the demonic forces. And if you think you have more strength and more resilience and more spirituality than him, we are mistaken. Satan owns people. He owns lost people. He owned me. He owned you. Like Pastor Ronnie said, we were born in sin. And Satan does not give up those people easy. Oh, you want some of my people? You want to take them from my kingdom and take them to God's kingdom? Fine, go ahead, because I'm kind of a fluffy guy. No. Our struggle is way beyond what we can handle. Our struggle is against not flesh and blood, but against the principalities, the powers of this evil world system. And if you ever came face to face with Satan's work in this world, when demons had a hold of somebody, or when they didn't, but just up against somebody that was lost, that Satan was not going to give up, you're in for a major battle. Don't let that scare you. Because we are going to pray for lost people. And we are going to let God do that kind of battle. But we are going to be prepared for our part of it. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms that are there. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and keep on praying for God's people. The very first thing we need to do is we need to become people of prayer. I'm going to tell you how to do that for unsaved people, for lost people, just like I was. We need to pray. We need to remember who we're fighting against. Now, here's what I'm going to do at the end. Don't do it now, but I want you to think through this. We're not talking about, Lord Jesus, help all the lost people in the world to get saved. Is that going to happen? Is it? You think that's possible? No, that's not possible. So we're not just going to pray for some thing out there somewhere. I would like you to start thinking of people during this service, and I'm going to ask you later on to start making a list of, start thinking of people that God has already brought into your life because you know Him. And He's already brought them into your life. You start writing these people down. You make a list of these people. They can be parents, children, wayward people that you know, the guy you work beside, the people at your school, some of the kids in your class, and you start specifically praying for them. Not just praying for lost people, but by name, praying for them. Pray specifically for somebody. Now, under this praying for people, I got a few things, and I want to tell you how to pray for them. That's why I made a list in your bulletin, so you can go down through this. Put your list of people, write this down, and I would like you, well, this is what you're supposed to pray for. I'll tell you what I'd like you to do later. First thing, remember you're praying within God's will. Remember this. This is so cool. You're praying within God's will. God says, if you ask anything according to my name, it'll be given to you. You're praying within God's will. 2 Peter 3:8-9. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promises, as some understand slowness. Understand this when you're starting to pray and when you're starting down this path of having some target people that you really want to see come to know the Lord. One thing is it probably will not happen overnight. It'll probably not happen in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. It might be 4 years or 10 years. It might be after you're already dead. I don't have any idea. It's not that God is slow. God is working in eternity. He doesn't say, they have to be saved right now. God just wants to know they're saved when they die, the moment they die. And some people are saved at that last moment. And God's like, yes! So God is working. And here's what I want you to get out of these verses. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promises. Some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting... Thank you. I'm going to do that again because there are some people that are still awake. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting
anyone.
See, this means speak, you know? Not wanting anyone to perish. Who does God want to see go to hell? Nobody. God is not willing that He doesn't want anyone to perish, but everyone. But everyone to come to repentance. It bothers me there are some people in some churches that teach that God didn't die for everybody. He chose some people to go to heaven and some people to go to hell, and I want to tell you, it's a lie. God is not willing that anyone, He doesn't want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. 1 Timothy 2:3-6, this is good and pleases God our Savior who wants... Thank you, Vicky. This is good and this is supposed to be underlined, so I just didn't get it up there. This is good and pleases God our Savior who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave Himself as a ransom for all people. So when you're praying, when you have lost people on your list, and you pray specifically for them, I want you to know it is God's will. He wants them to be saved. And when you pray for them, God says, hey, I can do that. It's like you have a team member. You pray for someone, you pray for God, please help all sick people to get better. God's like saying, well, you know what? I really need some people to be sick because I'm working in their life. God, heal this people. God may heal. God, please heal. God may heal you. God may not heal you. He has a plan. But when you pray that somebody that doesn't know Christ comes to know Jesus Christ, God says, I'm all there. I'm right there. I'm with you. Let's go do it. So you can guarantee yourself when you are praying for lost people, God is there and God is saying, yeah, amen. I mean, I'm, yeah, me. You know? I'm with you. Let's do it. He is all in. When it cost him everything. I guarantee you, God is all in with this prayer. So for one thing, you got a great teammate when you start praying, when you sit down and pray. Remember, you're praying within God's will. And if you ask anything according to His will, He says, I'll do it. Can't make people be saved, but He can get them. He can make things happen in their life, and this is what we're going to do. Second thing you want to pray for, remember that you're praying within God's will. Second thing, ask the Lord to do whatever is necessary to prepare that person's heart to hear. Ask God to do whatever is necessary to prepare that person's heart to hear, understand, and accept the gospel when it's presented. Now, this is a hard prayer, because these are people that you probably, that God put in your life, that are friends, family, people you care about, okay? And ask God to do whatever is necessary. Whatever is necessary to prepare that person's heart. Now, what we talk about, what I mean by preparing their heart, is in Matthew 13, 3 to 8. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but there's something, God wants us. He has an illustration of the sower and the seed. Okay, and he says, you know, I'm going to sow some seed, and some of it's going to fall on rocky soil. You're going to share the gospel sometime. It's going to be in rocky soil. It's going to be like people say, yeah, that's great for you, whatever, you know. And people are, but what God, I love when it gets to the bottom of it. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop. We're looking, when you're praying that God does whatever necessary to prepare that person's heart, you're saying, God, take the plow to that heart. Dig it up. You guys have gardens, some of you guys. And I know we do. And in the spring, come about July, once all the frost warnings are finished, you know, or August or whenever, you never know. Vicky gets out to do our garden. She just gets all these seeds, dumps them in her hand, and goes, whoosh! And they all land in the soil, and everything works right. It seems like that by this time of the year. There's so many things growing, you know. But, you know, you prepare the soil. You dig the soil up. You fertilize it. You get it ready. And there are some people you'll be praying, and what you're praying now, God, prepare their hearts to hear this. Prepare their spirit. Prepare their minds. Whatever it takes to get them to the point of understanding and hearing this. You know, some people have to get to the bottom of their pride. You know, people like that. I don't need God. You know, that's for like losers and people that have troubles in their life. Everything's going good for me. I don't need God. Ask God to prepare their heart. That means costly mistakes for them. Something to take away their pride where they finally say, I can't do this on my own. Sometimes that's mistakes they make that hurt them like crazy. Some people have to go through tough situations so they get to the point where I can't do this alone. Everything's been going so good, and all of a sudden my whole life caves in, and I'm at the bottom of the pit. What do I do? And they finally look up to God. When things are going real smooth for a lot of people, they're not really open to the gospel. A lot of people are. That's why children's ministries is so highly valuable, and youth ministries. And a lot of you guys have been in these ministries, and everything, or you've been out of them or whatever, you're in school, and you get involved in this and that, and you start going down the wrong path, and in college you're going down the wrong path, and all of a sudden you find out you're pregnant, or all of a sudden your life caves in, and all of a sudden what you thought was going to be really cool isn't cool, and all of a sudden you say, God, I made so many stupid mistakes. Please save my kids from the mistakes I made. See, when you get to that point, I've been really stupid. Your heart is a fertile soil. It's ready for God. It's ready, but you're praying that this happens sooner than later. Some people have to come to almost the end of their life. They have to be faced with mortality. And how many people have you seen and I seen that weeks, hours before they die, you present them with Jesus Christ because they're scared to death to die. Never think you're going to die. And so you're praying. Now listen, you're praying to God whatever it takes. Because it is better to die with Jesus Christ than to live an awesome life without Him, because you will spend all eternity separated from God in the lake of fire. That's the biblical truth. I can't change. I wish that weren't true. And so you're praying, God, whatever it takes. The third one is pray that the person will find no satisfaction in anything apart from God. These are the things you need to be praying specifically by name for people, that they will have no satisfaction in anything apart from God. You know what? This is kind of like tough love, isn't it? Tough love. You're praying for hard things for them. Because you want to see their ultimate. What is their main need in life? What is the main need in an unbeliever's life? Or in someone that doesn't know Christ? Their main need is what? To be well fed? To be healthy? To be happy? Have a nice family and all kinds of kids? And or no kids, to have a nice family? Or to have a lot of kids, to have a nice family? And all of a sudden, what is their main need? Not to be fed. It's Jesus Christ. Because without that, everything. Listen to this. Listen to Ecclesiastes 1:2, the wisest guy in the world. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What do people gain from their labors which they toil under the sun? You do all this and save up all kinds of money and you get all this kind of money, which it would have been nice to have if you were younger, when you could enjoy it. Now you're too old to enjoy it and poof, you die. And you don't take any of it with you. And Ecclesiastes 2:15, then I said to myself, the fate of the fool will overtake me also. What then do I gain by being wise? I said to myself, this too is meaningless. For the wise, like the fool, will not be long remembered. The days have already come when both have been forgotten. Like the fool, the wise too must die. So tough love is saying, God, please, whatever it takes in their life. Let them be open to the gospel. Give me or somebody a chance to tell them, and they are ready for it. And God, if you have to hurt them to do that, to get them to that point, hurt them quickly. Fourth thing is, ask God the Father to draw the person to the Lord. John 6:44 says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. And being that God is not willing that any... but it should perish. He is in the position of drawing people. Now, not everybody will accept that. But we are still called to reach out, to pray. God, please draw that person closer and closer and closer. And when he's there, please have me or somebody else ready. Ask God to draw people to the Lord. The fifth one, ask the Holy Spirit to bring conviction of sin in that person. John 16:7-13. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good, Jesus says this, that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So you ask the Holy Spirit, please convict them of their sins. Now, this isn't because they hurt you and you're mad at them. God, get them. We're not sicking God on them. We're forgiving those things that they've done. All the trespasses, forgiven, forgiven. Like you forgave me, God, I forgive them. Now, please, God, please convict them of their sins. And it's not always that God will use you to do that. Walk up to them and say, you're a sinner. I just wanted to convict you. God told me to tell you this. Maybe that will be, I don't know, we'll talk about that in a minute, but ask the Holy Spirit to convict them. Because the Holy Spirit is way better at that than any of us will ever be. That's what his job is. And he's a pretty good workman since he is God. And he has a lot invested in that person since he is God. And when it is time to convict them, he will convict them because he is God. And at that moment, their heart will be fertile. Ready to plant that seed. And this is what we're praying for. Another one is pray that he or she will have a desire to change and live a holy life. That they have a desire to change and live a holy life. You know what? I talked to a lot of people that come to church that said we did this and this and this and this. And there's, I just, what we're doing isn't right. We're living together, and so we pray for people who are living together and not following God's way, and we pray for them, pray for them, pray for them, and so many times after a year or two or three, they'll come up to me and say, I just feel like we're not doing right. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Pray that they will have a desire to live a holy life, that your friends and your family and your loved ones that don't know Christ will get to the point where they say, I'm living for all the wrong stuff, and it's not, something's missing. Something's missing. Just pray that God brings that desire to live a holy life in it. Another one is ask God. Well, in James 4, it talks about submit to God, resist the devil, come near to God. This is what God wants. The seventh one is ask God to answer any genuine questions or hang-ups that person may have. and that they will accept the answer. Ask God to answer any genuine questions. Now, there's a couple different questions you can have. Prove to me that God's really there, you know? I'm getting ahead of myself because, no, it's not our job to prove that, okay? Genuine questions. Ask that God answers genuine questions. God, send someone or something to answer any genuine questions or hang-ups that person may have, and that they will accept the answer. Matthew 7 talks about that. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, the door will be open. Not people asking trick or trap questions or argumentative questions, but ask that God really gives them some way to answer their questions. Send somebody there. The eighth one is ask God to send someone or something to communicate to that person Jesus Christ claims. For example, Christian radio. You know, it's like Christian radio is, some of you guys listen to Christian radio and sometimes you lend your car. When Mitch shared his testimony with us up here, he works for MedEd. When he gets out of the truck, he's listening to Christian radio and he leaves it on and guys jump in the truck and the radio comes on. It's like, oh, Mitch was here again, you know? And you know what? There have been people that have heard radio programs or watched TV programs that introduced them to Jesus Christ that you'd never think possible. God has his ways of doing that and taking them to even Christian radio or Christian TV. Ask God to bring some literature to them, somehow to bring some literature to them. You ever sit in a toilet, there's literature on the back, you know? Unfortunately, a lot of times it's from Jehovah's Witnesses who are doing for God, but they're going the whole wrong direction. I'm not a real tract person. But somehow they'll come to know something. You've heard of people seeing Gideon's Bibles in the drawer. Or someone at work, not you, maybe someone else, gets a chance to share. Pray for that to happen. That's great. This is where you're praying for God to bring someone in. You know what else is really happening these days? A lot has always happened. Sometimes God is speaking to people through dreams. Huge amount of Muslims are coming to know Jesus Christ through dreams. And they have this dream, and it's like, wow. And they wake up, and they search for an answer for that dream, and it leads them to somebody that knows Jesus Christ. That's how. That's biblical what happens when Paul was on the road to Damascus, and he was blinded. And he was wanting someone to go. God appeared to Ananias in a dream and said, I want you to go to tell Paul. God just does this. Ask God to send someone or something to communicate this. Another one, pray that the person will understand clearly who Jesus is and recognize his need for a Savior. Pray that a person will understand who Jesus is and realize I need something. I understand that Jesus has something. I've been looking for something. There's something missing in my life. Pray for this. Acts 4:12, I will say this again. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Jesus Christ is God Himself in flesh. And He said, there is no other way to heaven, no other road, no other religion, no other way except through Jesus Christ. Pray that they will understand clearly that Jesus Christ was God in flesh. And that they will look for Him. Another thing, a lot of things to pray for, right? Okay? You'll get used to this. Put your list beside it. This is the things you're praying specifically, not just random prayer thoughts. 10, ask God to let your... All of it's good until we get to this one. Ask God to let your life be a good testimony in front of that person. I want to tell you, some of this is for authenticity. So, and some of it is just to save yourself the embarrassment. Because when you go to share the gospel with someone and they say, oh yeah, right. I see what you're reading at lunch. I listen to the way you say. You're just like all them other hypocritical Christians, you know, trying to save me, but look at your life. The world knows the way a Christian should live. Movies present us as like stupid, bumbling idiots. And it's because a lot of times we are. And we're hypocritical people. You know, one of the things in here is, God, please help me to examine my own life. Matthew 5 talks about in the same way, let your light shine before others. What's your light shine? You know, this one? Let your life can replace it with life. Let your life shine before others that they may see your good deeds and then glorify your Father in heaven. You know what? We need to clean up our life. A lot of times we think lost people need to clean up their life. You shouldn't use the Lord's name in vain. Why not? They don't know God. Why do we care so much about what they say? Except if our little children are around or something. But why do we care about that? They need Jesus Christ, not to clean their language up. And then, once you know Jesus Christ, which a lot of church people don't do, then clean the language up. And a lot of us don't even do that, but we expect the world to do it before they even know Christ. In the same way, let your life shine before others. They may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. 1 Peter, as obedient children, don't conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as He has called you as holy, be holy in all you do. For it's written, be holy because I'm holy. In Acts, it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. To the people that you work with, to your parents, to your kids, to your neighbors, can they see that you've been with Jesus before you even open your mouth? Can they see that you've been with Jesus? That's what we need to pray for. That is a huge part of witnessing, is do our life back up what we say? Because if it doesn't, you're going to be terribly embarrassed. I have been embarrassed before in my life. When I went to share Christ, and they reminded me of the days and some of the times that I didn't. I hate that. I don't want that to happen again. Another one, pray that the Holy Spirit will show you what you need to say. And when you need to say it. Pray that the Holy Spirit will show you what to say and when to say it, as well as when to shut up. Be quiet. I'm not allowed to say shut up in church. I mean at home. So that's why I said it in church. Okay? Seriously, pray that the Holy Spirit will show you what to say. This is a really cool one. Because this is what scares us. What am I going to say? That's what Moses just did. What am I going to say? Pray that the Holy Spirit will show you when it's time. That the Holy Spirit will show you what to say. When to say it is hugely important. We just don't go around blabbing Jesus Christ to people, bugging them to death all the time. But there is a time when a message needs to be said. And there is a time when it just calls us to be quiet. There's a time not to share the message of Christ. Listen to this. We talked about Moses last week, but Isaiah 30, 21, this is really cool. Listen to this verse. Isaiah 30, 21. This would be a good verse to really think about. Whether you turn to the right or to the left. Now, this is after you've been praying for people. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Remember last week we talked, God told Moses, and Moses said, I can't speak, and I'm not very good, and I'm not very eloquent. And what did God say? Now go, I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say. See, most of us are scared to death. Well, what if I don't talk like Bob? What if I don't talk like this Bible study teacher? What if I don't talk like this? God says, listen, the point is you pray for these people. You let me work on their heart, and you listen to me. I'll tell you when to speak. I'll tell you what to say. I'll tell you which way to go. But most of us aren't really listening to God. We're just going through life, doing whatever, you know. Well, obviously, we're not going to hear God speak when we're being loud and boisterous and listening to garbage music and watching garbage TV and all this kind of stuff and all caught up in all the stuff that we do and in our hectic lives. When we think about God on Sunday morning, we don't have time to think about him the rest of the week, and we're not living for God anyway. But as you start to pray for people on a daily basis and a list of people, you are training yourself to listen because, see, you love these people more than I love your people. And you want them to come to know Christ. And if you are any kind of a decent human being, you will take this very, very seriously because the alternative is they go to hell. And when God has them ready, God will say, psst, psst, now, just say this. just awesome. The next one, if that person has been very resistant to the gospel, ask the Lord to keep the enemy from interfering in their hearing and comprehending the gospel truths. Now, this is one I live out a lot. If that person has been very resistant to the gospel, this could be church people who are very resistant to the gospel only because they've heard it again and again and again and again and again. Plus, he's never done on time. Okay? Or it could be someone that just has it against Christians or just pathetic and stupid, and I knew some Christians before, and if that's what Christianity is, I don't want any part of it. It has a bad taste in my mouth. Or maybe you went to a church that was real legalistic. It was all about rules and rules and rules, and you finally left and said, fooey with them all. If that person has been very resistant to the gospel, or someone just is just plain bad and nasty, or really nice but just don't want to hear it, pray that person that the Lord will keep the enemy. Who's the enemy? Satan himself. Pray that the Lord will keep the enemy from interfering in their hearing and comprehending the gospel. Now, I want you to know something. I'm not telling you this so you can watch me. Please don't watch me. But every time we have a service here, when we're in the middle of one of the last set of three songs, usually the second one, maybe the third one, maybe the first one, if everybody stopped singing instantly, you would be hearing me pray out loud. Because I know that Satan does not want you to hear anything we're talking about. Nothing. And Satan can't read our thoughts. So I pray out loud before every service, God, I believe that you died for me. And because of that power of the blood of Jesus Christ shed in my life, and I don't use all the same words all the time, I command Satan and demonic forces to leave this room, to leave second service. Always add children's ministry on there. I've tried that in the nursery, but it doesn't work. Okay? I'm sorry. Asking God to leave the entire building and the entire property, and I believe I defeat Satan sitting and standing there singing that song. That doesn't mean you're all going to get saved and all hear the message, but now God can speak without that interference of the demonic beings in this room that are assigned to you to keep you from understanding this, to keep you from taking this out. Junior high, senior high, doesn't make any difference. If that person has been very resistant to the gospel, ask the Lord to keep the enemy from interfering in their hearing. And I do that on Sunday mornings just because I care about you and this is what you're going to be doing to the people. It is amazing what God does when you are prepared for this. I'll get to that in a minute. 2 Corinthians 4, 3-4, and even if our gospel is veiled, and see, you've tried to share the gospel with some people sometimes and they just didn't understand. It was just like not making sense. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And that's why we need to remember. See, we're going right back to the beginning. Remember who your enemy is. Remember who you are facing. Satan does not want them to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. He does not want you to tell them. He does not want them to hear it. He is so scared of them hearing it. And that's why he is going all out in this world to give them other alternatives, to give them other things, to give them all the junk that the world is pushing so that they don't hear. And you are doing business, and your battle is against the satanic realm in this world. If you've ever had contact with Satan or demonic forces, you know it's real. I've had people come to me and tell me, I don't believe in God until I've seen Satan, literally, the demonic forces working in this world. Now I believe in God because of what Satan has done, and I've seen it. And I want to tell you what, we need to fight against that because Satan does not want to lose his people that he owns now. And then Mark 9, it says, after Jesus had gone indoors, he just kind of healed a boy that had demonic possession. When he'd gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive out? He replied, why couldn't we drive the demon out? And Jesus said, this kind can come out only by prayer. Now, in the King James, it says only by prayer and fasting. Okay? There are some demons and there is some ownership of people's souls by Satan that you need to pray for them. I don't know who it is, but God says some people will only be released through prayer and maybe by fasting. I've done the fasting a couple times in my life, but God says there you need to pray. Pray is hugely important. James 5:16 says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. That is the first tool in your toolbox or your tool belt. Out of the 12 steps of your witnessing program, don't even think about going to it with prayer. Now, here's what I would normally say, and here's the practice in my life, is I don't share Christ with people or try to get any big confrontations or things like that without at least 2 weeks of prayer for that thing. Now, sometimes God just brings people into my life. Stop, pick up a hitchhiker, they jump in. I have a pattern. We'll be talking about those things that I go through to talk to them about Jesus Christ. I don't have to think about it. It's not even scary. But for the most part, I'd pray for someone for 2 weeks if I have that time, because I am not strong enough to defeat Satan in their life. So this is not something we're just winging. This is something I'd like you to make a list. I'd like you to have a certain piece of paper, a certain notebook that you sit down with in your morning, and you list these people, your most wanted, okay? I would call them your target people. Most wanted's good too. These are the people that you most want to come to know Jesus Christ. Don't make it too long, because you won't be able to. Wait till some of them, wait till you can check them off your cart. And that's not that they're dead, okay? And then add some more on. But literally, your most wanted list. And start praying for each one of them through these things. These aren't like, it's not like if you do these, if you miss one of these prayers, it's not going to work, all right? No. This is just a guideline. And this is before you even have to do anything. And you start praying for 2 weeks, and you will be amazed at what happens in that 2 weeks in that person's life. There will be a lot of you that go pray for people. You'll be a week into your prayer, and something will be happening in their life or in your life, all right? You're praying for somebody to share the gospel, not just you. This isn't a trick to get you to share the gospel. This is to get God to work. Does he want to work? Oh, he wants to work. And he wants to have a team member in that work. And so for 2 weeks, at least, before you even start to feel the guilt of, I should be sharing this, pray for 2 weeks. If you get the chance ahead of time, don't say, hey, sorry, I've got one more week to pray for you before I can tell you why I'm praying for you. All right, if they ask, tell them, okay? Because obviously God is saying, now! But for 2 weeks. So don't feel guilt for the next 2 weeks at all. Just pray. And I don't understand why any believer wouldn't do this. You're not going to have to preach to the person. You're not going to have to show them through the whole Bible. You're not going to have to know all this. And then we're going to go through the other 11 steps that when we're done, I want to tell you, I think most of you will be looking forward to the chance that God says, now. I think because you will have tools, you will have patterns, you will have ideas, you will have thought through how you can get there. And then once you learn that and overcome that, oh, it's so big, you'll think, I mean, I've been worried about this all my life. You'll be looking forward to the opportunities to tweak it and change it a little bit. It is, I'm telling you what, I live this. It is exciting. It has nothing. I lived this before I was a pastor. It is just really, really cool. So two things I'd like you to do. I'd like you to make a list of people God is laying on your heart. He's laying them on your heart. It makes you feel like, oh, I'm weighted down. I mean, laying in your heart is such a churchy word, a Christianese word. I don't really think of people laying people on my heart. I think of, I'm concerned for this person. I think God is asking me to do something in this person's life. If you want to be having them lay on your heart, that's okay, all right? But just ask God and sit down with God and say, who do I care about their eternity? Who am I really worried about their eternity? God, who did you place in my life so I can be the ambassador? You understand? Those people I won't really care about, okay? Because I got my own people I got to care about. I don't have enough care to care about your people. I care about you. You're my people. You care about your people. And God will tell you that, and you start working in their life. You start praying for them, and you will be amazed what God does because he is highly invested in this endeavor. He existed to be invested in this endeavor. So make a list. Just a couple people. Keep it small. Keep it short. I don't know. A couple people God's laying on your heart. And then pray for at least 2 weeks, plus or minus. Just pray for at least 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, you don't stop. You just continue on because I think most of you will see things happen in those 2 weeks. Our series will take about twice that long. But pray during that whole time. while God is at work in their life, preparing them and preparing them and preparing them. And a lot of people, you will find their soil being ready soon. Some will be a little bit later. Some will be a little bit later. Keeps you from forgetting them. It's not a trick to get you to be the witnesser, okay? That's not a trick. You care about people in your life. You care about people that during Revelation, when we got towards the end of it, you're really worried about. Because you're a caring person, you have those people on your mind. We're going to give you some really cool ways, and really, we're going to work together to make a difference in some of those people's lives. Understand, not all of them will respond. Some of the birds snatch up the seed, some are rocky soil, but there's some that God will have ready. There's people out there that God has ready for you already. We're just not listening. So it's going to be really cool to get there together. Please don't miss them, if at all possible. And I'm looking forward to going there. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for that you care even more than we do. You're not willing that any should perish. You want all to come to repentance. You died for the sins of the whole world. We know not everyone's going to respond to that. But God, there will be some. And I pray that while we pray, you might work in our hearts to make us that kind of person. And Lord, just bring people, just whatever it takes to bring people to you. I pray that we might be willing to pray for that and do that. This world is ready for the gospel. They're ripe to harvest. Use us, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Cool. See you guys. I can't wait to hear some stories later on. Please tell me stories if you have any.